So I'm here at the Amsterdam Fringe opening party with one of the writers, is it? And
yes.
One of the performers of Simbamba. And you're from South Africa?
We're from South Africa, yes.
So tell us a little bit about what Simbamba's about.
Simbamba is a show about the relationship between a white woman and the black domestic worker who raised her in the 80s and early 90s in South Africa. And that relationship is a very common one in South Africa. So the play explores that and sort of the racial tensions around that and notions of motherhood and what a mother is. And the girl's looking back, so it's looking at it from a contemporary South African perspective.
Just want to get your name too.
I'm Philip Rademeyer, the co-writer, along with Penny Youngelson, and I'm the director of the show.
So, Philip, take me to the moment when that play was born.
It was a number of years ago, 4 years ago, so where Penny and I and a good friend of ours, Ilse, were having coffee and were thinking about starting a company. And we just sort of entered a nostalgic discussion about our own domestic workers who raised us when we were young, and we thought, why aren't people talking about this? This phenomenon is taken for granted in South Africa, but it's a really strange thing because these women often leave their own kids thousands of kilometers or hundreds of kilometers, miles behind, and hardly ever see them. We'll see them once or twice a year, and no one is talking about this or thinking about this. So that's when, that sort of thing, the thing sparked for us.
I mean, I find that interesting coming from the UK and particularly from England, where I think there's been at least one play exploring the same issue about rich kids in the UK being brought up by their nanny and so on as well. And
we saw at the Grahamstown National Arts Festival, I think 4 plays dealt with the issue in different ways, but it seems to be on people's minds at the moment. But it's, the show tells it from a very specifically South African point of view because it is so tied into to our past and into how race is perceived in our country. So we do think, even though people from all over the world can identify it, I think it is a very uniquely South African story. Yeah,
I love hearing about the anatomy of collaborative writing. What did that look like? Were you all around the same table? How was that brought together?
Not around the same table. In our separate apartments at our laptops. We had ideas or themes around which we wanted to write, and there are 5 characters. So essentially I wrote 2 characters and Penny wrote 3. And then we would sort of talk to each other and decide, are we going along the right way? And in the end, we came together, pieced everything together, and any sort of discrepancies we then sorted out and pieced the whole thing together. So it's about months and months of discussion beforehand and note-taking before the actual writing happens, It's difficult. I mean, I think collaborative writing is difficult because you can't just follow your own mind or your own line of thought. You have to serve the story at the end of the day,
And how much were you drawing on direct experience and how much did you need to go out there and research?
Mostly direct experiences. We very clearly try to say it's from the white girl's perspective because it's so very much from Penny and my perspective, and we can't pretend to speak for somebody else's experience. So it is how the girl going back to her childhood home, how she perceived that relationship to be. It's very personal, not necessarily autobiographical, but it's very, very personal. We did some reading around it and some research around it, obviously, to sort of back that up, but it is a memory play, and it's very nostalgic in parts, and that comes from something personal,
And are there things like, guilt that are in that, that you have to see past to be able to write clearly and objectively?
There are things like guilt, and I think it comes out in the main character, where she deals with a lot of the thoughts and feelings that we were dealing with, and regret and things like that. But then there comes, so I allow myself to write quite emotionally sometimes, but then when it comes to the editing and when it comes to directing the piece, we try to strip the emotion out,
And last question before I get the delight of talking to the performer as well. You don't always get
who
that with interviews.
Voice for speaking,
I ask this question a lot. It's a kind of deliberately cheeky question. So how did the writer and the director get on with each other, being the same person?
Well, no, but that is an interesting question. As I said, the writing I allow myself to go where it needs to go, and I think Penny writes in the same way. But with the directing, it's about, okay, don't be precious. You need to tell the story in the most effective way and for the audience to get the story. So there is a... In my mind, there's a directorial voice while I'm writing that says, well, this is how it's going to look, this is how it's going to look. So there is that little bit. But as a director, you can't be precious about your words. You need to, again, serve the actors and serve the story that lives on the stage, because the text is just a dead thing on the page. Yeah.
Now I'm coming to the performer, and your name is?
Hi, my name is Lesoko Siabe.
And you play what character?
I play four characters in the play. As Phil mentioned, there are five characters. The fifth central character, known as Kint or Child, nameless character, is played by the beautiful Nika Lombard. I play the domestic helper that raised Kint, or the child, her mother, the child of the domestic worker, and an amalgam, the mother of all things, all-seeing kind of character, which is really fun to play.
Can you take me back, if you can remember, to your very first reading of it?
Penny and Phil write really poetic but very dense work. And it must have taken till about the 10th read that we actually got to get a sense of what the play would look like, because it's really beautiful just to pick up the text and read it, because they're such fantastically skilled writers. So the first read was very, very difficult. And the first read, actually, the play was mostly in Afrikaans. The play takes place in three characters. I mean, in three languages. English, Afrikaans, and isiXhosa. We've performed the play in three festivals now. The first time at an Afrikaans festival, so it was majority Afrikaans. Second time at the National Arts Festival, which was then half Afrikaans and half English, majority. And now it's more English than anything, with spatterings of isiXhosa. So it was really interesting to see how the languages interplay with each other, and then also to see how the play develops and changes and deepens depending on which languages are playing the majority force in that particular production.
There's a danger, isn't there, that good writing stays too much on the page. How did you lift it off the page and bring it into the truthful characters?
Well... It's an interesting, when I look back on the process, I don't think I was cognitive of this when we were actually doing it. But when you look back in it, Nika and I are very emotional beings anyway, so we like to sit in the text and the meaning and all of that, but it's not very interesting to watch. So when we had the opportunity to play to an audience member who's also a very good friend of ours and theatre maker, he was able to say to us, and what Phil had been trying to say to us for weeks, but he said, just let the words live, almost just skate on top of the words. The words are already so rich and so dense, so that's happening already. You don't have to imbue the words with all of this meaning, just let that happen. And it's a very freeing thing, because then you can really start to play, and then the play can really live, and then the audience can really have a chance to participate in the viewing process of that production.
So can you take me into one of your rehearsals?
It depends on the day. Sometimes Nika is alone in the room with Phil. Sometimes we have one-on-one sessions with Phil and I. And when we come together, it can sometimes feel a bit clumsy, because you feel like there's an individual process. So that individual work is very, very important, just to get a sense of what choices that making sure that the choices that you make are very deliberate and are serving the story. And then you almost have to let all of those choices go and have the connection and the story lift up off of the page. We usually get through only about one run-through, because it's very heavy on us. Then we'd go through a lot of notes. And Nika and I, before we go into the rehearsal room, often just do a word run, just to let the words sit in our mouths. So we're not thinking about that when it happens, because the text is very, it's very wordy. There's a lot of words for us to remember. So it probably takes place in three parts. The word run, every day, before we go on stage. A run-through. We're lucky enough to just be able to go into a room and do the run-through now. And then very intense, very detailed notes at the end. And then obviously your individual work in preparation before you go on the next day.
Final question back to the writer. It's my mischievous question. So someone comes to see this, say, at the Amsterdam Fringe and says, oh, this is just amazing. This is brilliant. We need to do this. Let go of it, dear writer. Give it to us. Can you do that?
I'd have to speak to my co-writer first. At this stage, we probably wouldn't immediately, because the show is still running and we'd want to see where we could take this production first. We're not opposed to people wanting to do our work in future, but when a run is happening and we're international now, we'd want to see what can we do first before anything, unfortunately. But please do tell us that. We'd love that. So please ask us that question so we can think about it some more.
So the writer, the director and the player of many characters, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much.